Well, this is my final time I'll be teaching you at Twynham. I won't be up here in this position again, really, over the next, well, until I leave, which is just a number of weeks ago. So I've been bringing you, particularly looking at getting out the boat, and we're going to continue with that theme for the final time this morning. I've worked it out that probably I have stood up here and brought God's word to you on a Sunday around 300 times. I must say that I've enjoyed every single moment of it. I've just been able just to bring God's word to you and hopefully explain some that need explaining and to encourage where that is and where that was needed. What I've kept on my front of my desk upstairs for this church and also the church was at before actually was this. And I've had this plaque in front of me for all the time I've been involved in church, really. And it's from a newspaper years and years ago. We were on holiday in Oxford, and it was just in a newspaper in the house we were staying in. And it was just a headline that caught my eye. And it just simply says, transformation, not information. And really, over the last 10 years, really, that's what I've always had in front of me. And that's always what I've always sought to bring, really. Because I've never been into just sharing facts, really. I've never been into just sharing information for information's sake. Because if God's word doesn't bring transformation, it's pointless. Absolutely pointless. It's no use just knowing God's word unless it affects our lives personally, then it can bring transformation. And so again, hopefully today it's going to be applied, it's going to be something that can help us in our Christian life. And as we move on to the third part, really, the final part of looking at this passage in Matthew where Peter is encouraged with all the waves and the storm and everything else, and it's quite apt today with the storm that's coming in quickly, apparently, into this area tonight. We're going to look once more at this passage in Matthew 14. And it's Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to him at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it really is you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they came back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After they crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least a fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. It's great, isn't it? I simply want to, just over the next few minutes, really, just encourage us individuals and also as a church to look at five areas from this passage today. And I believe the foundational to us, they're not going to be anything new to us, most of us here, but the foundational to us as a church, to you as a church, as you carry on in the years ahead. Number one, we're encouraged in this passage to be a people who are prayer-focused. After sending them home, Jesus, went up the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? That if we don't pray, then we can't expect anything to happen. And that is true. It's simply much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. That's the way it works. To pray is spiritually the air that we breathe personally, but also corporately as a church. Some of the best times I've shared in this church have been on a Thursday evening when we've met together. And often it's only been a small number of us, but we've met together and we've prayed together, we've prayed for each other, we've heard from God. And he loves it when we do it. And he encourages us, just as Jesus did. Jesus went off and prayed. And he spent the evening praying. So I want to encourage us as well as a church to be a people who are prayer focused. When we do pray, it's important that we have a clear picture of who we're praying to. Jesus, when he taught the disciples came to him and said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray, will you?" So he said, "Okay." And he laid out this prayer with it, which we can read in the New Testament. And it starts off, "Our Father who art in heaven." Peter, when he first called out to Jesus, said this. Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it really is you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. Peter knew that as long as it was Jesus on the water, he'd be okay. He needed to be sure who it was. With all the wind and the waves and all the waves that were coming into his face, and the boat was being tossed left, right and centre, he needed to know that the person he was seeing on the water was Jesus. Because if it was, he knew that he would be okay. He knew that with Jesus can do anything. He knew that. So that's why he called out, "If it is you, tell me." Peter, you see, had just seen Jesus feed over 5,000 people with hardly any food. He'd also seen people be healed, those who come to him, to come to Jesus. So he's seen people be healed by Jesus. He'd seen Jesus turn water into wine. So he knew that if this really was Jesus, then he could step out, that he could walk on the water, because he knew the person he was calling out to. Peter had so much confidence in the person he was calling out to. What's your confidence like in Jesus? What's your confidence like in Jesus? Do you truly believe he is who he says he is? Do you truly believe that he will do what he says he will do? Peter found that when you know the person you're calling out to, then that gives you confidence. When you know Jesus, you can call out to him. And what does he say? Jesus says, "I'm here." That's what he says. He doesn't say when you call out to him, all your problems will disappear. In this story here, this account here, he did calm the storm and everything went back to normal. But when we call out to Jesus, he doesn't promise that everything will be sorted and everything will be great and everything will be fine. What he promises time and time and time again is that, "Call out to me because I am here. Because I've said so many times here." He doesn't promise to take things away from us, but he promises to walk with us through those things. That's what he promises. And your Jesus will do that. Your Jesus will do that. When they called out to him, he knew who Jesus was. That gave him confidence to go out on the water. To be a people of prayer. Be a people who are faith-focused. Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Over the last few weeks, we've looked at this passage and I've encouraged it time and time again to be people of faith. I said 2 weeks ago that the faith and fear go hand in hand. And Jesus uses our fears to prepare us for the future and to grow our faith. The disciples didn't know it, but one day soon they were going to be on their own. That Jesus in bodily form wasn't going to be with them, physically with them. Jesus was trying to prepare them for what was going to come. They were actually going to be killed for their faith. Each one of them are going to be killed for their faith later on in different ways. Jesus knew they were going to have to face even bigger fears than they were experiencing in the boat on that day. And Jesus uses this situation to prepare them for the future, so they could be the people that God had made them to be. The interesting thing is, in the same way, we are encouraged also to face our fears with Jesus, so that we can become the people that God's created us to be. Because fear can cripple us. It holds us back in our lives. Don't let that happen. Don't let whatever it is you're fearful of hold you back. Don't let it cripple you. If you're serious about serving God, then I promise you that during that time when you're serious about seeking God and serving God, that He will bring you face to face with some of your fears. But fear and faith go hand in hand. But the good news is, if you truly believe Jesus is who He says He is, then faith is always stronger than fear. If we really get hold of that, faith can be so much stronger than fear. Don't let fear hold you back to doing anything. Because you're not made of people who are fearful, as we can read in that verse. Don't be afraid, He said. Take courage, I am here. Be a people who are faith-focused. Be a people who are people-focused. After they crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of His arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged Him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of His robe, and all who touched Him were healed. Remember, Jesus at this point was still upset. He'd just lost His cousin, John the Baptist, who'd been beheaded. He'd lost him, this cousin he grew up with. He really hadn't had time to grieve. He went straight out then and fed the 5,000 people. He hadn't had time to sleep, actually, because he'd heard that John the Baptist had been killed, his cousin, who he was close to. He fed 5,000 people. Then he went up to pray. Three o'clock in the morning, he went down to the lake and saw the disciples in difficulty. So he walked on the water and rescued his disciples, got in the boat and went over to the side of the lake. And then people were already there, waiting for him. Even though he'd had no sleep, and he was grieving still, he still had compassion on the people when he saw them. Be a people who are people focused. One of the things I did first of all when I first came to this church 10 years ago was to change the name. We changed from Twynham Chapel to Twynham Church for the Community. And why did we do that? If you take your mind back to those of you who were here then, was so that we'd be focused not just inwardly, but outwardly. So whenever we saw the symbol or the logo for Twynham Church for Community, the idea was then that we would realise that we're not just here for ourselves, we're here for this community around us. For the thousands of people who are not here this morning. This church doesn't exist for the 150, 160 people maybe here this morning. It's partly for that, but it's also for those who are not sitting here this morning. That's why we exist, isn't it? If I'm honest, this is one area where I think we have struggled as a fellowship over the years. I think sometimes we've been a fellowship who has been probably more interested in comfort more than compassion. Sometimes we've been more interested in comfort more than compassion. And for those outside the church. We do a lot in this church, reaching out to the community. But there are times when I've been aware that for us as a church, we'd be more interested in our comfort more than compassion. I feel one of the biggest mistakes we've made over the last 10 years in my time here was when we stopped having the two services. And that was one of the biggest mistakes we made. If you remember, we trialled 6 months having two services, not the one where we went into the loft, the service when we had one at 9 o'clock, I think it was, and one at 10:30 here. And we trialled it for 6 months. And there was growth during that time. But for whatever reason, there were many reasons that people gave, we stopped after 6 months and we didn't go back to it. And I think that was one of our difficult times, really. I look back at one of our difficult times and look back at one of those times where we took a step backwards, not forward. I feel that was a part where we put our comfort before compassion, because people were saying things like, well, we're frightened we're going to end up with two churches, one at 9 o'clock and one at 10:30. Well, so what? We were frightened that we couldn't have tea and coffee together. People were saying this to me. Well, what about the tea and coffee? So what? Sometimes where people were saying to me, well, you know, the service times are just not convenient. So what? For that reason, we went back to, well, for many reasons, we went back to having one service. And I think, I really do believe deep within me that was a bad step for us as a church. And I think we've seen it. I think we've seen it. Just want to just encourage us again. We are people who are people focused in that we do so much for the community. Most months we're starting something else to reach out to the community. But I think as a church in a whole, particularly on a Sunday, don't hold this as our baby. Don't hold this time here so sacred that we actually do not include other people or look outside of ourselves during this time. Don't hold it that tightly. Just want to encourage us that whoever takes over from me, and whoever that's going to be, and whenever that's going to be, then I'd ask you just to get behind them 100%. And also to always look, even more so than we do as a church, to look for compassion over comfort. Be people who are Jesus focused. So Peter went out over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sing, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. I truly believe it will become harder and harder in this country to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It'll become more difficult to talk about what it means to follow Jesus' teaching. We can see it now, can't we? We can see the culture coming in closer and closer to us, around us, that is wanting us to stop teaching what Jesus has taught us as his followers. I want to encourage us in the days, weeks, months and years ahead to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't take your eyes off him for a second. Well, you know what's going to happen? We're going to drown. That's what was the thing with Peter, wasn't it? When he actually took his eyes off Jesus, he looked at the storm around him. He looked at the waves around him. He was standing on water. But when he looked around him and he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink. Let's be a people who keep our eyes on Jesus. Last week when I was door monitor after the service, like last week here, just making sure it didn't bang because there was windy last Sunday as well. Just going out, it was Brenda Jones, who's not, I don't think she's here today. Brenda Jones went out the door and just said to me, "Paul, keep your eyes on Jesus and don't look to anyone else. Keep your eyes on Jesus, don't look to anyone else." I believe they were prophetic words from Brenda. They were prophetic words for me personally, but also for us as a church. Many things are going to fight for our attention. Many things today will distract us from looking to Jesus. Don't let it happen. Don't ever let it happen. Now, I know for some of you, you know, I'm teaching, was a grandma to suck eggs, is this right? Yeah. But it's so important to be reminded to keep our eyes on Jesus. There's a song, isn't there? Let's see what the words up here. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's just sing it together.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Let's be people who are Jesus focused. And finally, let's be people who are worship focused. When they climb back into the boat, when Peter and Jesus, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. The disciples have seen Jesus perform so many miracles up until this point. But when he walked on the water, and then without saying a word, he was in command of the wind and the waves. All they could do was worship him. When we really see Jesus for who he is, all we can do is worship him. We can worship him in song, and we have done today. And we've sang some great songs this morning, and quite a few of them about prayer. And we've been praying and worshiping Jesus. But we know that just singing worship is not the whole story, is it? We know that this verse is very familiar, and it just says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is the true way to worship him. So it's not just our singing, is it? It's not just for those 20, 25 minutes on a Sunday when we're worshipping God. It's our whole being, our whole selves. And what helps us to worship is when we keep our eyes on Jesus and we see who he is, we recognize who he is. And when we recognize who Jesus is, all we can do then is worship. So I want to leave you with these five areas and just encourage us as a church to keep going and to keep these five areas in your heads always. When you're looking for another pastor, where does he stand on some of these areas? When you're looking for a way forward, what is God saying about these different things? To be a people who are prayer-focused, faith-focused, people-focused, Jesus-focused, and worship-focused. Lord God, we just bring all this to you. And we thank you, Lord God, for your word that just teaches us daily. And I bless you for that, Lord God. I just pray, Lord God, that we will be these people, Lord God, even more so. I know that to a great degree, a lot of people here would fit in those categories of being those type of people who are prayer, faith, people, Jesus, and worship focused. But for all of us, may that be true, Lord God. Encourage us, Lord God, as we go into this new phase, really, of Twynham Church, for all the things you have for us as a church, for the way you do want to see this place grow, for the way you do want to minister here, for the way that you do want your Holy Spirit to set this place alight. I pray that'll be true, Lord God. Just keep us individually, Lord God, people who are prayer-focused, faith-focused, people-focused, Jesus-focused, worship-focused. And may we be as a church be aware of that as well as we come together corporately. Encourage us to do that more corporately, some of these things as well. Just bless you for that.